Imagine a world where your worth is determined solely by your species, where being born human grants you automatic privilege, while any other form of sentient life can be confined, experimented on, or killed for your benefit. This is not dystopian fiction, but our present reality. When Peter Singer's Animal Liberation first appeared in 1975, it challenged this fundamental assumption with a revolutionary question. What moral justification allows us to disregard the suffering of billions of animals? The book's impact was immediate and lasting, earning the title Bible of the Animal Rights Movement and influencing countless people, from college students to celebrities like Paul McCartney and Natalie Portman, to reconsider their relationship with animals. What makes this philosophical work so powerful is its methodical dismantling of speciesism through clear, rational arguments that speak to our deepest moral intuitions. Singer's core argument is simple. Suffering matters, regardless of who experiences it. The principle of equality demands equal consideration of interests, not identical treatment. While we reject racism and sexism, we accept speciesism without question. The capacity for suffering, not intelligence or rationality, determines moral consideration. Scientific evidence shows animals feel pain, exhibiting the same external signs and physiological responses as humans. The argument that language is necessary for suffering fails when considering human infants who experience pain without language. If we wouldn't experiment on a cognitively disabled human infant, how can we justify doing so to a chimpanzee or pig with equal or greater cognitive abilities? There's no moral justification beyond arbitrary species membership. Western thought historically justified human dominion over animals through biblical creation stories and Christian theology, with Aquinas declaring animals exist for human use. Descartes claimed animals were mere machines without consciousness. The Enlightenment brought progress, captured in Bentham's essential question. The question is not, can they reason, nor can they talk, but can they suffer? Laboratory animals endure severe suffering behind closed doors. Monkeys are restrained for months, exposed to radiation, and forced through electric shocks to perform tasks. In military studies, primates are irradiated and shocked to continue physical activity even as they near death. Psychological experiments have been particularly cruel. Researcher Harry Harlow created monster mothers, surrogate mothers with brass spikes that would hurt baby monkeys, and isolated infant primates until they became psychologically broken, fearful creatures. Most of these experiments don't advance medical knowledge. They primarily serve academic curiosity, product testing, or questionable military research. Millions of animals suffer in psychology labs studying stress and anxiety, often yielding results researchers later deemed invalid. Official reports show millions of animals used yearly, with thousands experiencing unrelieved pain. These numbers exclude rats and mice, the most commonly used subjects, suggesting the true scale of suffering is far greater. Our relationship with animals at mealtime is masked by packaging and sanitized language. We eat beef, not cow, pork, not pig, avoiding the ethical weight of our choices. Modern agriculture bears little resemblance to idyllic farm imagery. Industrial operations treat animals as production units, managed by algorithms. Chickens and poultry facilities receive less than 67 square inches of space, smaller than a sheet of paper. To prevent stress behaviors from crowding, farmers remove chicks' beaks without anesthesia. Engineered to grow 50 to 60 times their hatch weight in 7 weeks, modern broiler chickens suffer widespread leg deformities and heart problems. Many become immobile, lying in waste until processing. Poultry experts warn these birds are on the verge of structural collapse. In egg operations, male chicks, commercially worthless, are eliminated at birth through dassing or grinding, affecting 160 million annually in the U.S. Females spend their lives in battery cages too small to spread their wings, developing deformities from wire flooring. For animals raised for food, suffering is systematically built into modern farming practices. Pigs, as intelligent as dogs and young children, spend their lives in gestation crates barely 2 feet wide, unable to turn around or take more than one step. Sows initially fight their confinement by thrashing against bars. Eventually, they develop repetitive behaviors like bar gnawing and vacuum chewing, showing severe psychological distress similar to human OCD. The veal industry demonstrates intentional cruelty for aesthetics. Calves are kept anemic for pale meat, confined in narrow crates, and denied water to force milk replacer consumption. Their iron-deficient diet creates such intense cravings that they compulsively lick iron fittings until injured. Transportation and slaughter intensify this suffering. Cattle endure journeys up to 2,000 miles, going 72 hours without food or water. High-speed slaughter lines, processing 400 cattle hourly, compromise both animal welfare and worker safety, with many animals remaining conscious during slaughter, even in regulated countries. While political advocacy matters, the most impactful individual action is becoming vegetarian. This choice serves as both a personal ethical stance and a protest against institutionalized animal cruelty. Vegetarianism works as a multi-level boycott, withdrawing financial support from harmful practices while creating opportunities to raise awareness. Each vegetarian spares hundreds of animals annually, regardless of the boycott's broader success. The environmental and hunger implications are significant. Animal agriculture is remarkably inefficient. A calf converts less than 5% of consumed protein. An acre planted with beans produces 300 to 500 pounds of protein, compared to just 40 to 55 pounds for meat production. A mere 10% reduction in American meat consumption could feed 60 million people with the freed grain. The environmental toll is severe. 1 pound of beef requires 2,500 gallons of water and causes 35 pounds of topsoil erosion. Nearly half of Central America's tropical rainforests have been destroyed in 25 years, primarily for North American beef production, with 1 to 2 acres of rainforests still being cleared every second for cattle ranching and feed crops. The animal liberation movement has progressed from a fringe cause to achieving concrete victories, banning veal crates in Britain, phasing out battery cages in Europe, and reducing animal testing in cosmetics. While Darwin's theory of evolution revealed our common origin with animals and the continuity of mental capacities across species, humanity's dominance over other species persists. We now face a crucial question. Will human tyranny continue, or will we demonstrate genuine altruism by ending our exploitation of other species because it's morally right? This isn't about prioritizing animals over humans. Historically, animal welfare advocates have been at the forefront of human rights, from fighting slavery to championing women's rights. In fact, the first child protection cases were prosecuted under animal cruelty laws. Extending our moral consideration to other species doesn't diminish human concerns. It strengthens justice itself. The choice is personal. Will you continue participating in unnecessary suffering, or take the simple step of changing what's on your plate? This daily decision has the power to help end one of history's greatest injustices.